Lecture 3, Inferno.
In the next 6 lectures, we're going to take a kind of systematic approach to how we're going to deal with the Commedia. Obviously, we can't visit every place Dante visits in the afterlife, or we simply would be listing things in 6 45-minute lectures. However, our plan is something like this. We're going to do some introductory remarks on each of the 3 canticles of the Commedia, that is to say, Inferno, Purgatorio, and Paradiso, and then we're going to be doing sample cantos where we can try, first of all, to explain the large picture by looking at a case study and how a canto works in the various parts of the afterlife, but also to explore some of the fundamental issues and be able to refer to some of the political matters and some of the intellectual matters that we discussed in the first 2 lectures. So that is our MO, and therefore we'll start with an introduction to the Inferno.
I might just say as a footnote to that that we've taught Dante in an incredibly wide variety of contexts, but also in terms of an incredibly wide variety of time slots. We've given all of Dante in 1 hour to various groups. We've given the 10-hour version, the full semester version, which we're doing now, and in a seminar that I've done during the summer, the actual contact time was twice as long as a regular semester. So I had essentially twice as much time as I ordinarily do, or as I do when Bill and I teach the course together. In none of those, from the 1 hour to the 150-hour version, do I even come close to touching on all of the cantos. The general rule with Dante is, no matter how much time you have, it isn't enough. So that the representative canto way of going about things is really something that we would do in any case. The difference may be that we'd be able to include a few more cantos. In the course that we're doing now, we are having the same problem of trying to figure out what it is that we're going to include, what it is that we're going to leave out. But as I said, and as Bill said, we hope that we're going to be able to not only talk about the individual cantos, but to talk about the general makeup of that part of the afterlife that canto represents.
Well, we have to start at the very beginning, and I suppose that's on the surface of the earth. And the important first thing to say about the geography of Inferno is it is a kind of inverted cone and a series of concentric circles that get smaller and smaller and smaller till we get to the very center of the earth, where we find Satan sort of frozen in at the waist in solid ice. And we're going to take a journey through basically what Dante divides into 9 circles of hell. Some of those circles, although not all of them, are subdivided, and some are subdivided many, many times. For example, there are 10 parts of the 8th circle.
And of course, the geography of hell consists of smaller circles than the previous example, each of which contains the souls of sinners who have failed to repent while they're on earth. An important distinction. In other words, they are not there because they sinned. They are there because they failed to repent. It turns out that we will find in the other sections of the afterlife, in Purgatorio, in Paradiso, sinners as well, but those are sinners who have repented. So what we're seeing is a failure of repentance, and that's going to be important in terms of the interconnections, the interchanges between Dante, the pilgrim, and those that he meets on the way down.
We'll see that there are 3 general categories of sin, categories that Dante derives from a collection of pagan sources, primarily Aristotle and Cicero. The first group of sins are the sins of incontinence, and then we'll go to the sins of violence, and then we'll go to a variety of the sins of fraud. Obviously, the further we go down, the more serious the sin is. And it's important to say, and when we were at Attica, we had some particular difficulty with this, because, for example, we discover that murderers are higher up than thieves. Well, our thief...